Okay, so let's get started then. So we are holding, I'm told, on Lord Almud Alice, about a little past the middle of the Almud.
What?
I'm told that we're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, a little bit past the middle of the Amud. Line begins the Harei Kodesh. We're in the middle of Sugya of Abaye and Rava arguing about when the Torah says don't do something, if you do it, or if you do it, is what you did effective or not. What? There's a lot of background noise from somebody over there. Okay. Yeah. So Vav Amud Aleph, the line begins the Harei Peah. Okay. So we're still in the middle of the Sugya with Abaye and Rava arguing about when the Torah says don't do something. If a person does it, do we say that what he did is able to have an effect lahalacha? One example of it, of course, is Tmura, where the Torah tells us don't make a Tmura, but the Torah also tells us, and if you do, then it has an effect. But we've been discussing a lot of different cases where the Torah tells us don't do something either implicitly or explicitly, and a person does. Now, the first example in the Gemara, for example, was where the Torah says about an ones that he has to stay married to the woman that he rapes. So if he divorces her, does the divorce take effect or not? So that was the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Is Ovid loy mahani, Rava says that if the Torah says don't do something and you do it, then it's ineffective, and Abaye says it is effective. So continuing on this. So the Gemara says, Vaharek Peah. Consider the case of Peah. You have to separate Peah, you have to leave aside Peah, a corner of the field, for the poor people to take the grain, or whatever it is. The pasuk says you're not allowed to clear away the corner of your field when you harvest. So in other words, you're supposed to leave it at the time of the harvest. And we learn in a Mishnah, mitzvah peah lahafrish min hakama. The proper way of doing the mitzvah of peah is to separate it from the standing grain or fruit on the tree or whatever it is. Loy hifrish min hakama. If you didn't set it aside when it was still standing before you harvested, then you still have to separate it from the sheaves, from the bundles of grain. Loy hifrish min ha'omrim, if you didn't separate from the bundles, yafrish min ha'kri, then you still have to separate out peah for the poor people, but then you have to take it from the pile of grain. So fine, you threshed your grain and everything, you made a pile of it, you still have to give a portion of it to the poor people as peah. The different, actually meruchayin, and that would apply if you're going to be separating it from the pile before you did miruach. As we've learned many times, you have miruach, smoothing out the sides of the pile, and what makes the tzvius as far as ma'aser. Up until that point, you're allowed to eat from it without breaking ma'aser. Up until that point, you're allowed to eat from it.
Brown rice? Alaska with brown rice.
There's a lot of background noise going on. You don't mind muting. Thank you. So what we're saying is, you thresh your grain, you clean it, you whatever, and then eventually you get to the point where you have a pile of kernels of grain. After that, once you have that pile, you do miruach. I mean, miruach is the size of the pile. That's considered to be the kavirus as far as ma'aser. Once you did that, then it's considered that Now you're not allowed to eat from it anymore. You're going to take ma'aser from it. Well then, so if you didn't give peah by that point, by the time that you did miruach, so miruchay, if you did already miruach, then asrei benoisim, then you have to take ma'aser first, and then you still give the poor person his peah. Meaning, if you had just done it up until that point, now minatara, there's no minimum amount for peah. Minatara, you would give one grain and it would be enough for peah. But you're supposed to give 160. So like this,
the miruach, Alexander, the miruach is midaraisa or midrabanan?
Midaraisa. So once miruach has been done, then on daraisa level, mice are taken from it. So once miruach was done, now it becomes kavua as far as mice. It becomes that the only way that you can eat from it is if you take mice from it. So therefore, in this case, you're losing out because if you had given it to the poor person,
given to the poor person, you would have been able to give him 1/60th, which is what you need to give Midrabanan, without having to first take Maaser from it. Now, like this, you have to first take off Maaser, and then you have to give 1/60th of what remains to the poor people. Okay, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, then they said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, not only that, but Af Mafrish Mina Isa. It goes even beyond that. Let's say you already did Miruach, and now you're even beyond that. Let's say you ground up the grain and made it into flour, and then kneaded the flour into dough. So they said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, you have to take payah from that also. If you didn't take payah all this time, then you have to take payah from the dough. The point is, in other words, with all of this, we see that
before you Mafrish Halal afterwards.
The pashtus you would have to be mafish challah first, but I don't know. The point being, though, in other words, that the point that Tosfos makes the point, in other words, you don't say that now it has shinui hashem. You don't say that now it has a different name because before it was wheat and now it's flour and now it's dough. Maybe it should have a different status. No, you don't say that. You still have to take payah from it. The point being, in other words, that you see that even though the Torah tells us you're supposed to give payah when the grain is in the field, nevertheless, we see that you also, we don't say once you didn't give it over there, then you, we still say you have to give it at later stages. So we don't say, in other words, that because you were over on the mitzvah, therefore, now, according to Abaya, we would have to say, Abaya had been saying all this time that whatever the Torah says don't do, e ovid mahani, if you did it anyway, then it is effective, lahalacha. Well, in that case, we ought to say over here, once you didn't give payah at the right time, then what you did was effective. It's not considered to belong to the poor people anymore. Why should you have to give it? And yet we're saying that you do have to give it, therefore, tilta d'Abaya. So don't you have a contradiction to Abaya then? Because according to Abaya, why are you still having to give at that point? The answer is Omala Habaya shiny hot, and it's different in that case. The Omakra, you have Ozov over here in the Pasuk, that's a mistake. It's supposed to say just Tazov. The Pasuk says Tazov Yisera. Twice the Torah says in the Torah that you have to leave payah for the poor people. Once when the Torah first mentions the mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim, the second time in Parshas Emor, and both times the Torah uses the expression La'on Evil Agir Tazov Osam. Therefore, you have an extra time tazos. So therefore, Abaya says, therefore, this is an exception to the rule. Usually, we would say that e ovid mahani, if you had violated what the Torah says, and in this case, you had failed to give payout the proper time, then that's it. It's considered, in effect, you did kind of gezel from the aniyim, but it's too late to do anything about it. But over here, because the pasuk says an extra time tazos, then it means you have to leave it for the aniyim regardless. So you didn't leave it in the field, then you have to leave it at a later stage. Therefore, it's no problem for Abaya. Good Rava. Now, what would Rava do with that extra pasuk tazev? Rava, who holds e ovid loy mahatni, and therefore that just because you violated the mitzvah doesn't mean anything. It's still ineffective. You still owe the payah just as much as before. So obviously, according to him, you have to give it at later stages. Why the extra word tazev? The answer is, Amalach, Rava will answer you, will learn a different game from that. There's another kind of case of abandoning, which is like that, just like payah in and of itself is potter from maaser. Like this, we have the case where you didn't give payah in the proper time, and you're giving it from the stack of grain, which had miruach already, and therefore you're taking maaser from it first. But in the previous stages before that, if you gave it in the proper time, while it was still standing grain, or after it had been harvested, but before it had been threshed, or after it had been threshed, but before it had been piled up, or before miruach, whatever, you wouldn't have to give truma and maaser from it, and neither would the poor person. So Rava is saying, the extra word taza teaches us there's another case where you abandon something and you're also potter from truma and maaser. The ezu, and what is that case? Zeham maskir karmoy. That would be the case where a person declares his vineyard or whatever kind of plot of land hefker. The tanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa. Ham maskir karmoy, if somebody declares his vineyard hefker, v'hishkim l'shachar, then in the morning he wakes up and takes possession of it again, u'basroi, and he harvests the grapes from it. Now, midaraisa, that works. Midaraisa, you're able to declare something hefker, and then you're immediately afterwards able to declare your ownership of it. Midrabanan, you're not supposed to do that. Midrabanan, you're supposed to declare it hefker in front of three people, so that way you have, so to speak, two edim and one dayan or something like that, and that way, they have the option of taking it, but whatever. We're talking here on a daraisa level. that if somebody made his vineyard hefker, and the next morning he woke up and took possession of it again and harvested the grapes, chayev b'peretz v'oilus, he's still chayev in the b'shitko v'peya, he's still chayev in the various matnes aniyim that come out of those out of that vineyard. And in the case of a vineyard, uniquely you have four types of matnes aniyim. Peretz, where individual grapes fall off when you're harvesting them. That's similar to leches in a field. But oilolois is something unique to grapevines, where you have undeveloped clusters of grapes that don't have the normal shape of a cluster that the Torah said you have to leave them for the poor people. The shikha, where you forget a cluster of grapes and then forget to harvest it, or you leave it behind or whatever. Or bepeya and peya. So all of those, even though you've declared the field hefker, nevertheless, we learn from this word tazav that because by each one of them, it says an extra tazer, by each one of those matnes hanim, therefore you're chayev in all of them, even though you made the field hefker, or potter, and a meiser, however, you will be potter from meiser, from truma and meiser, because by meiser, it doesn't say an extra time tazer. So therefore, in other words, so Robert would say that's what we're learning from the extra tazer. We're learning this concept that if you were master your vineyard, and then you reacquired it, then you're still going to be chayev in peya, and in the various other matnes hanim. Tosfos brings from the Ri that this would only be that it depends. Did he take ownership again of the actual field or vineyard itself, or did he just take ownership of the fruit? The Ri learns in Tosfos that if he had just taken ownership of the fruit, then he actually would be possible from all the matnas aniyim as well. Only if he took ownership of the vineyard itself, then we would say he chayev in the matnas aniyim and possible from Turma and Maisa. Okay, anyway, that's what Robert is learning. That's what Robert is learning from the extra tazos. So therefore, Robert says it's true. Automatically, we would know if you failed to give peah beforehand, then you have to give it now. The extra tazos is teaching us a different din, this concept where a person declared his vineyard hefker, etc. Okay. So now we've gone through like 14 or 15 cases that the Gemara has asked on, where you have a case where the Torah tells you not to do something, and you went and did it. And the question is whether what you did is considered effective or not. And each time, some of them were questions on Abaya, some of them were questions on Rava. Each time we were able to answer according to Abaya or according to Rava respectively. And each time the other opinion, Rava or Abaya, had a different way of explaining the same process. So we got to ask, what's the nafkamina? Omalei Rav Acha Breda Rava L'Ravashi. So Rav Acha Breda Rava asked Ravashi, V'hashti D'Shanin and Kohani Shinuyi. Now the bottom line is we answered all of these things. Every time we had a question, what happens in this case? Is what you did effective or is it not effective? Each time we ask, on the face of it, we have an implication that it would be effective, and so it's a question on Rava. Or we had an implication that it wouldn't be effective, and it was a question on Abaya. Each time we were able to answer it, so if each time we were able to answer, ultimately, La Locha, then Abaya and Rava both agree, practically speaking, what happens in each of these cases. So the Abaya and Rava might be my plea. So what's the actual practical nafkamina between Abaya's and Rava's opinion? Both of them, in each of the cases that we found where the Torah says not to do something, we seem to have found that both Abaya and Rava agree on the practicalities of whether you're chayev, whether you're potter, whether what you did is effective, whether you did was not effective. So, but my belief, what is the actual question?
They reach the same conclusions. They reach the same conclusions in just the reverse way, the opposite way.
Exactly. So the question is what? The question is, what's the actual nafkamina? Why did we just spend a block and a half, or two blocks, whatever, talking about this concept of the Ovid Lamahani if there's no practical implication of it in the halacha? Now, before we get to the answer, Tosfos asks, what about, now the Gemara is going to give a different answer, but let's say, for example, Tosfos says, suppose a person swore that he's not going to divorce his wife, then he divorced his wife. So it sounds like there you'd have a nafkamina. A buyer would say that the guest is effective, and Rava would say that's not. Because after all, the Torah says you're not allowed to violate your shur. Tosfos says that's not really a proper nafkamina, because we have to be talking about a nafkamina where the Torah imposes the issur. He or she imposed the issur on himself. So it's not really the same thing. Okay. So what is the nafkamina? The Gemara says the ribis susa kamifidi. The nafkamina, the argument between them would be if a person took fixed ribis from somebody else. So we learned that way back in Ezo Neshech. You have fixed ribis, which is also in Asarda. Namely, for example, you borrow $100 and the deal is that you're going to pay back $110 or any other such agreement like that. And then you have the various kinds of avak ribis that we also learned about in Bava Metzia. We learned about them briefly in Erechin. Also, you have different cases, for example, where you buy produce. You make a deal. For example, that say you're gonna buy now at a lower price, and therefore lock in a lower price. Whatever. So you have ribit tzutza. So the machlokas would be in that connection. The chiddush of a lozer. The machlokas would be like what the machlokas would be on what Rabbi Lozer says. The Amar of a lozer. Rabbi Lozer says like this: ribit tzutza yoytze b'dayonim. If a person took fixed ribit from somebody else, then the dayonim can take it away from him. The dayonim can force him to return that ribit tzutza. On the other hand, continues Rabbi Lozer on the day, avach ribit ena yoytze b'dayonim. On the other hand, if a person took avach ribis, and here you have Rashi gives one of the examples. Let's say, for example, if you're making a deal with somebody, I'm buying this field from you. If I'm buying this field from you, so you say, if you're going to pay me now, then I'll give it to you at a discount. You can have it for 1,000 zuz. And if you're going to pay me later in the year, then I want 1,200 zuz. So that's called avach ribis. So Rabbi Lozer says, eino yoytze b'dayonim, such ribis cannot be taken away by dayonim. Because Minat Torah, after all, it's mutter to do that. It's only the Rabbanan that it's also. Therefore, the Dayanim do not have the ability to take that away from the person who collected it. Only Rabbi Chutz, says Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm after the Rabbi Chutz, then he goes to the Dayanim. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even Rabbi Chutz, you don't have the Dayanim take him away. So Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon paid him back. The deal was that he's going to pay him back with Rabbi, and Shimon does end up paying Rabbi. Rabbi Yechanan says, okay, Reuven did a serious aveda by accepting ribis. Shimon, for that matter, did an aveda also by giving ribis. But Rabbi Yechanan says it's too late. You can't undo it. You don't have the dayanim take it away. So we can say Abaya and Rav are arguing on that point. Abaya would say, like Rabbi Yechanan, because he says the Torah told you not to take ribis, but you did take ribis. E ovid mahani. If you did take ribis, it has an effect. Therefore, it's considered your property. The dayanim cannot take it away from you, saying that it's gezel or whatever. Because not legally, it belongs to you. Whereas Rava would hold like Rava Lazar. E ovid loy mahani. If the Torah says to you, don't take ribis, daraisa ribis, then you're not allowed to take it. And if you do, it's not effective. It's not considered yours. Therefore, Rava would be going like Rava Lazar's opinion that says that the dayanim can take it away, like they would any gezel. So that's the answer that Rav Ashi offers of what would be an act of minute between two. Amale, but Rav Acha Brei Rava says, that's no good. I don't accept that. Hasan b'svara pligi. Are you telling me that Abaya and Rava, or for that matter, Rava Lozer and Rav Yechanan are arguing on svara, which then you can say it depends on this svara of Abaya and Rava, whether Eovid Mahani or Eovid Le Mahani? Hasan b'kroi pligi. In that case, actually, they're actually arguing on Daushin Tzukin. And in that case, it has nothing to do necessarily with this Eovid Mahani or not. It's another one of these cases where Abaya, both Abaya might hold like either opinion, Rava might hold like either opinion. The same way as in all the 14 or 15 questions that we set up until now, we always had that because of the Xeris HaKosov, for example, that the divorce takes effect, or that you give pay after the fact, or that you can or can't give truma in certain cases or whatever. So in each case, we had Xeris HaKosov, and Abaya and Rava both have to agree with it. So here also, you have according to each opinion, you have Xeris HaKosov, and therefore, Abaya could agree with either opinion, or Rava could agree with either opinion. The Amar of Yitzchak, my time is Rabbi Yechanan. In fact, Rabbi Yitzchak says, why does Rabbi Yechanan say that Ribis Sutta cannot be taken away by the Dayanim? Why do we not consider it like Gezel and have the Dayanim force him to return it? Because like this, Amar Kro, you have a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Baneshech Nosan, the Sarbis Lokach, describes an out-and-out Rosh over there, all kinds of different Averis that he did, and one of them is he lent his money at Neshech, and he took Tarbis, which are two different words for Ribis. V'choy, will he live? Lo Yichya, he will not live. What does that mean? What's the point of saying Lo Yichya? L'chayim Nisan v'loy l'hishavon. It means that the mitzvah of Ribis was given that if a person doesn't do it, if a person doesn't take Ribis, he will live. Meaning, in other words, that if he did take Ribis, too late. He's not going to live. There's no way that he can undo the Aveda by doing Tshuva. There's no way that he can undo the effects of the Aveda by returning the Ribis. That is why Rabbi Yechanan says that that the Dayanim aren't going to make him return the Ribis. It's not going to do any good anyway. Either way, he was over on this, and he's not going to live.
By the way, there's an interesting little side thing over here. There's a medrash that tells we all know the story of Yechezkel going and reviving the dry bones over there in the Valley of Dura. Yechezkel Paraklamet Zayin, the Staff Torah of Shabbos Chalamoid Sukkot, Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach rather. Anyway, the medrash says that so what happens? You know, you see all these bones scattered around over there. The Hashem tells him to say a nevuah, and they all join back together into bodies. And then Hashem tells him to say another nevuah, and a new neshamas come into them. So the medrash says after all that happened, there's one body still lying over there that didn't get up with all the other ones. So Yechezkel says, Hashem, what happened over here? And Hashem says, this guy took ribis, therefore lo yichya. He's not going to live. He's not going to get up with tchef and nathan like the rest of them. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that's why. That is why Rabbi Yochanan is saying that ribis, that Beit Din can't make the guy return the ribis, because it's not going to do any good anyway. Once he took ribis, it's too late. Rabbi Acha ba'ada amamehocha. Rabbi Acha ba'ada says I have a different pasuk that expresses the same point. The pasuk says, when it talks about not taking ribis in Parashas Bahar, it says, v'yareisa me'alekecha ani Hashem. It says you should fear Hashem and not take ribis. And you should fear Hashem. I am your Hashem. Same thing. L'moira nesatev v'lo lehishabim. This mitzvah of not taking ribis is meant to be. You're supposed to fear Hashem and not take ribis. If you did, then it's too late. There's no returning it and undoing the aveh. Well, let's put it this way. In other words, actually, I guess we shouldn't say that shuva is impossible. I mean, but the point is, the same way as there are various averis, you know, at the beginning of the Geras HaShuva, which we started a few weeks ago in Tanya, it sort of brings over there a braisa from Yuma that mentions that there's different categories of averis. There's eses, there's regular lois eses that are chayavim ikores, chayavim mitzvastin, etc. Anyway, each different ones have different kaparas. Some mitzvahs say all you have to do is do tshuva and immediately you're forgiven on the spot. Regular mitzvahs voice say tshuva torah lovi yemakapori mechafe. You have to wait till Yom Kippur for the complete kapara. Christmas and Mrs. Basian, the person needs yisurim as well, etc. The point is, in other words, the different categories of averus. There's different levels of kapara that are needed. In the case of a person who takes ribis, the Gemara is saying over here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that the Beis Din will make him pay back the ribis tshuva. So in that sense, in other words, once they make him pay it back and he does the tshuva, then I guess he's cleaned up as much as possible. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Beis Din cannot force him to give it back. Then what it means is, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, so okay, you can do tshuva, very nice, that means Hashem can forgive him some part of it, but there's still an effect of it, which is still going to be hanging over him. And the pasuk is implying that by saying lo yichya, or now we're saying by saying v'yareisa me'alekecha. Rav Amar Mehocha, Rav says, I have a third pasuk that shows the same point. Another pasuk in that same section of Yechezkel, if you took him earlier, also where it's describing this Rasha. The pasuk says, "Hache'evet ha'el osa." He did all of these disgusting things, and the pasuk mentions a half dozen averus over there. But Mois Yumas, he will die. Dom of Boyiya, his blood is on his head, meaning he's responsible for whatever happens to himself because it was his averus. And the pasuk continues, "Vaholav bin Paris Shreifich Dom." The pasuk then continues that this person, the scenario in Yechezkel is it describes over there that you have a Rosha who has a son who's a tzaddik who has a son who's a Rosha. Whatever the point is that you have, in other words, so it describes over there that he's a ben parah that he did all these disgusting things, which included taking ribis. And the pasuk says over there, v'holad ben parah shofech dam. The pasuk says that he fathered a wild son who spills blood. So therefore, hukshu malvei ribis l'shevch chidamin. So we see that the Torah is making a hekesh. The Torah is putting together, it's lending that ribis with killing, with spilling blood. Ma shevch chidamin l'nitna lishav. And just like when it comes to spilling blood, there's no returning it. Once a person is dead, once a person killed somebody else, and that's it. The person's dead, and there's no undoing that part of it. Again, you know, the person can do tshuva, very nice, but it's not going to bring his victim back alive. The same way people who lend it ribis, there's no returning it. There's no undoing the effects of that, according to Rabbi Yechanan. So the point is, Rabbi Yechanan has any one of these three psukim from which we see that lending it ribis is irreversible. The effects of it are irreversible, and therefore Beis Din does not make him pay it back. So therefore, so that's the reason of Rabbi Yechanan. Nothing to do with the Yavid Mahani, or Yavid Loi Mahani, which is a Savara. Okay.
The Amr Rav Nachman took my time with Rav Elazar. Then Rav Nachman says, okay, what's Rav Elazar's reason? What does Rav Elazar have against all those psukim to say that Beis Din should force him to return him? The reason is, because the Pasuk says, don't lend to another Yid at Yivis, and your brother should live with you. Which means, which implies, ahadurle, meaning the Torah is telling him, the Torah is telling the one who lent that ribbis, return the ribbis that you took from him, in order that he should be able to live with you. So therefore, so Rabbi Elazar says that that pasuk implies, therefore, that ribbis is supposed to be returned. It is considered gezel. Beis Din would make him return it, and therefore, once he returns it, then he has to return it. So again, nothing to do with the machlokas of Abaye and Rava. It has to do with which psukim you're dashing how. So we're still back to the question, the Ela B'mai Komikvi, Abaye and Rava. So what are Abaye and Rava arguing about? If we've just established that this last case of Ribis, which we thought was what they were arguing about, they're not arguing about it either. Either one of them could hold either Rabbi Yechanan or like Rabbi Elazar. So what are they arguing about? The answer is the Shinui Koina. They're arguing about just Shinui make a Kinyan. Now what does that mean? Rashi brings two explanations. One is that it means Shinui means that the person deviated and went against what Hashem told him to do. So therefore, Rashi's first explanation is that there's no actual Nakamina between them. In the end, in every single case that we can think of where the Torah tells us not to do something and a person does it, there's no actual case where a buyer would hold that, where a buyer would hold differently la'alocha than Rava. However, what it is the nafkamina between them is the underlying principle. Do we say that unless otherwise specified, if a person did something with made a shinui, deviated from what Hashem told him to do, do we say that what he did has effect or not? Abaye would say the general rule is that yes, unless otherwise specified. And Rava would say the general rule is no, unless otherwise specified. But according to that explanation, it would be only a theoretical argument, not one that has any nafkamina. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that Shinui Koine means the case that we talked about, the case that we learned about on Amud Aleph, where a person stole raw materials and made them into something else. The case of Shinui involving Gezel. We had on Amud Aleph, one of the 14 or 15 cases was about a Gezel. The Torah says don't steal, and we say that if a person stole wood and made them into Kalim, then he just has to pay the value of them, not the actual wood itself, because he was coining them to Shinui. And we brought a pasuk on that. We said that Rava and Abaye would both agree to that concept. Now, Rashi is saying maybe what the Gemara means over here is that they wouldn't both agree on that concept. Rava would disagree. Rava would hold like other Tanoim, in a couple of places in Bava Kamma, who says that Shinui is not Koine. So there would be a possible Nakamina between them. We could say that Abaye holds like the opinions that says that Shinui is Koine, so therefore the person stole wood and made it into a Keli, then he doesn't have to give back the original wood. He's Koine that Keli with a Shinui, and therefore he just has to return the value of it. Whereas Rava maybe would disagree and hold like the other Tanoim over there who say that in fact you are going to have to return the actual wood. So according to that, there would be an actual Nakamina between them. Okay, continues the Gemara, Lishnachrina, another Loshin, the Ribis Tzitza, La'abaya, Le'mehad Ribis, L'rova Mehad Ribis. We could, after all, go back to what we were saying before and say that and say that maybe indeed the Machloikas between them would be about Ribis. This Lishnachrina, Rashi points out over here, and we've had a few places already, and in the Sefta, and we're going to have many more, that you have a lot of times, the Lishnachrina, another Loshen in the Gemara, is actually, you have different versions of the Gemara, a Yerushalmi version and a Bavli version, even though we're learning Gemara Bavli, of course, but the Bavli was learned in Eretz Yisrael as well. So you have in a few places, and in a number of places in this Masechta, you have a Lishnachrina, which was a different version of the way they learned, a different gear set that they had in Eretz Yisrael versus in Babel. So Lishnachrina, Beribis Tzutza La'abayel Mehad Ribis, L'Rava Mehad Ribis. We could say that the Machloikas is indeed about Ribis Tzutza, that according to Abaye, we would say you don't have to return it, and according to Rava, you do, which was, in effect, we said before, the same Machloikas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechanan. The problem with that is, don't we know that Abaya himself holds that you do take away ribis, that you do have the dayonim take away ribis ksusa? We know that the Omer Abaya, because Abaya says, Hodein de masik b'chavrei arba zuzei b'ribisa, take out the word meya, doesn't belong over here. Suppose a person is owed four, suppose a person is owed four zuzim of, suppose a person lent somebody else four zuzim at ribis, now what happens is the loiva took from his store and gave him a garment which is worth five and gave it to him for the price of four. So in effect, in other words, in a way he's given it ribis, because after all, he owed him only four and he gave him a garment worth five. But on the other hand, he at the time valued it at four. So is that considered ribis or not? Do we what do we do as far as the dayanim? So Abaya says he makinei went.
What? And isn't that the matana? He chose to get him the
extra. But if you were going to say it like that, then you could always do ribis, because you could always give ribis with a matana. No, it doesn't work. So what happens? He makinei minei. So wait, there is going to be the concept of matana according to Abaya. But wait, he makinei minei. So Abaya says, when eventually we come to Beis Din, so we have over here the loiva and the malva. The malva has received this garment. So now eventually when the loiva realizes, hey, wait a minute, I wasn't supposed to pay ribis, let's go to Beis Din. And Beis Din is going to tell the malva to give back the ribis. How much do we make him give back? Dalam makinim minay. We only take away from him four zuzim, which was the amount of the ribis. V'hai zuzim matonu hu diyohivle. The garment was actually worth five. The extra fifth zuz we can consider was a present. That isn't considered part of the ribis. Therefore, because the deal was that he only owed him four zuz of ribis, and now instead he gave him something worth five. Therefore, we can say the fifth zuz doesn't count as ribis. So you would only make him pay four. According to Abaya, the Rava Amar Chamsha Matkinim Minei. Rava says no. You actually make him pay five. My timer. Why is that? Cool. The Torah's ribis. The cost of the others, because the entire garment came to him as ribis. So we don't care about the fact that he said it's worth only four. The fact of the matter is it's worth five, and he received the whole five as he did. The point being, in other words, so fine, Abaya and Rava have that side machloikas, but they both agree on the basic concept that the dayanim will take away ribis from a person. So the question therefore becomes, again, so now we're back to the question, what's the next minute? So the answer is Ella Kikomista, the Abaya and Rava, the Shinui Koina. So we can say again that what Abaya and Rava are arguing about is whether Shinui is Koina. Again, according to Rashi's first explanation, it means that in the end all we have between them is a theoretical argument. A person disobeyed Hashem. Does it have an effect or not, unless otherwise specified? Abaya would say yes unless otherwise specified. Rava would say no unless otherwise specified. And according to Rashi's second explanation, the actual nafkamina between them would be a case where a person stole and then made a shinui with what he stole, where Abaya would hold, like the opinions, which is in fact the halacha, that he's koina what he stole with that shinui, and therefore all he has to repay is the value of it. And Rava would be holding like the opinions that say that he's not koina, and therefore he has to return the actual object itself. Okay.
So the halacha is like
well, who the halacha is like, it really depends how you look at it. I mean, if you say that ultimately there's no practical nafkamina between them, it's just a matter of, if you say that it's just a theoretical matter, like Rashi says in his first explanation, then it doesn't really matter who the halacha is like, right? Either way, in each individual case, you have to see, what does the Torah say? If you go like Rashi's second lashon, then it would come out the halacha would end up being like Abaya, because the fact is the halacha is like the other opinions that say that a gazlan is koina with shinui, and not like the opinions that say that he's not. So then it would come out that the halacha would be like Abaya. Okay. I think there are achronim, Minchas Chinuch, for example, talks about who learn that actually the halacha is like Rava. In the sense, again, you know, according to Rashi, we're saying the Gemara couldn't find any nafkamina between them, but should you find a nafkamina between them, then it would end up being like Rava. Maybe not in this particular case of Shinui when it comes to Gezel, because that depends on an earlier Machlokes Tanoim, where the halacha is not like that. But if you have other cases that the Gemara hasn't brought up, then the halacha, they say, would end up being like Rava. Okay. New topic. Tanan Rabban, we learn in a Braita. The pasuk says, Kol Asher Boi Mum Loi Sakrivu. The pasuk says, any animal that has a mum in it, you should not offer as a korban. Ma Talmud Loi. Now, what are those words in the pasuk teaching us? In Veloi Tishchatu, does it mean that you're not allowed to shech such an animal as a korban? Harek Va'om Olamata, you already have. Further on, in the pasukim, you have something that says that you're not allowed to shech a Baal Mum as a korban, as we're going to show soon, that we have a pasuk that implies that. Ela matam ablem a Baal Takrivu. So what does the pasuk mean when it says, don't be makriv a Baal Mum? It means Baal Takdishu. It means you're not allowed to be makdish such an animal as a korban. Mikanom, who based on this, the Chachamim said, Hamakdish Baal in Mum and Legabi Mizeach, the person is makdish, an animal a Baal Mum, as a korban to go on the Mizeach. He's going to be over on as many as five averes, as many as five lavin. Mishum Baal Takrivu. Number one, okay, Baal Takrivu, Shittim Kubetis takes out over here because we're not going to have that yet. But Baal Takdishu, number one, you're not allowed to be makdish it. Baal Tishchatu, you have another process that implies that you're not allowed to shech a Baal Mum with a korban. Or Misham Baal Tizriku, you're not allowed to sprinkle the blood of a Baal Mum on a Mizeach. You have an iser to burn the whole thing. In the case of an olo, it would mean actually the whole thing. In the case of other korbanos, it would mean the whole emurim, whatever, on the mizbeach. And then you have another iser in the Torah that says that you're not allowed even to burn some of it on the mizbeach. So like this, when a person was makdish, a baal mum, as a shlomim, let's say, and eventually they take out all the fats and all the whatever internal organs of it, the cloyus and the aseret hakavod and so on and so forth, and offer them on the mizbeach. First of all, they offered some of them from a baal mum, which is one ether, and second of all, they offered all of them, which is a second ether. So you have those two, plus you have there was the ether to be makdish in the first place, there was the ether to shecht it, and there was the ether to sprinkle its blood. So those five, Mishum Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Af Kabbalah Sadam, they said in the name of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that the person is over on a sixth Aveda, because receiving the blood in a Mizrach, receiving the blood of a Baal Mum, he learns as a separate law. Okay, so let's analyze that. Amar Mar, in Baal Tishchatu Hare Omer Lamayla, Lamata, we said that the word Loi Sakrivu cannot mean that you're not allowed to offer it. It can't mean that you're not allowed to shecht it, because we already have a policy for that. Therefore, we have to understand that it means you're not allowed to be makdish it. Heichan Omer, where does the Torah say you're not allowed to shecht a Baal Mum as a korban? So like this, Titania, we learn in a Braita. The pasuk says in Parshas Emor, Averes, an animal that's blind, a shover, or that has a broken limb, a chorus, or that has a notch in it. We learned in Bechorus, for example, it has a notch in it. And its eyelid, or it has a scrape in one of its externally visible bones, or whatever, that's chorus. Or yabelus, or it has a wart. Loi sakrivu. So all of those, you're not allowed to be makriv with them. So the braisa is matam ablaimer. Again, what does the word loi sakrivu in that pasuk mean? Does it mean you're not allowed to be makdish such an animal as a korban? Harek va'omer l'mayla, you already have the earlier pasuk that says kol asher boi mum loi sakrivu, which was a couple of psukim before the pasuk that lists the actual mumim. So it can't mean that you can't be makdish them. Ela matam alem baal takrivu. So what does it mean? You're not allowed to be makdish with them. Means baal tishchatu. Means you're not allowed to shech them. In other words, we have two psukim that say loi sakrivu. One of them means that you're not allowed to be makdish, and the second one means that you're not allowed to shech them. Then the pasuk continues, v'isha le'sitnu mehem. The pasuk continues that you're not allowed to make a fire offering out of any of them. Elu ishim. That means the issue of putting the parts of them on the fire of the mizeach. Ein le'elakula. Now, from that pasuk, you would only know that it applies if you put all of the emurim of such an animal on the mizeach. Miktsasen minayin. How do we know the same thing applies if you only put some of them? Talmud lama mehem. Therefore, the pasuk says from them. So far we have four of the issurim. So far we have being makdish in them comes from the first loy sakrivu, shechting them comes from the second loy sakrivu, burning some of them on the mizbeach comes from mehem, and burning all of them on the mizbeach comes v'isha loy sikri. Okay, now the fifth one, zrikas dam minayin. How do we know the same din applies? How do we know the same, that you have the issur also of sprinkling the blood of them on the mizbeach? Tamad lema al hamizbeach, therefore the pasuk is on the mizbeach. But on the Mizbeach doesn't just mean burning them, because that already says, Isha lo situ mehem, that you shouldn't put from them in the fire. So on the Mizbeach means something else that goes on the Mizbeach, namely the blood. Then the pasuk continues, Lashem. I should have quoted the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, after it mentions the list of mumim, Averes, Eshavar, etc., lo sakrivu ela Lashem, the pasuk says, you should not offer these for Hashem, the Isha lo situ mehem, ala Mizbeach, Lashem, and you should not put you should not put any of them on the fire of the Mizbeach to Hashem. So what's that last Lashem for? Because we know a korban is Lashem, and earlier in the pasuk it already says Lashem. So what's that extra Lashem adding? L'rabis tzara mishtalach. That comes to add also the tzara that's sent off to Azazel, that if a person were to take a goat, which is a baal mum, and designate it as tzara mishtalach, he would also be over on the Isser, and he would be getting malchus on the ground that he was machdish. It's not going to be a korban, because that doesn't get offered on the Zeach and gets thrown off the cliff while Zozo. It's still included in Lashem. Okay.
What is it called?
Well, it doesn't go on the Mizbeach, but it's not a korban per se. It's not a korban per se, but nevertheless, it is Lashem. You're not chas v'shalom offering it to Azazel or something. You're throwing it off the cliff. You're throwing it off the Sar Azazel, but you're doing it at the command of Hashem. Therefore, it can still be considered under the heading of Lashem, because you're doing it for the honor of Hashem, who told you to do that mitzvah. Okay. So the question is, V'lashem lo rabbi su? You're telling me the word Lashem and a pasuk comes to add something extra, that like this we wouldn't have known to include the third Mishtalayach, and now we're saying on the grounds of the word Lashem you have to add it? Well, Hatanya, but we learn in a braisa the other way around, that Lashem comes to make a miut. E-Korban, you have a pasuk, you have the psukim in Parshas Achrimos that talk about the Easter of Shchot Echot, that you don't have the Shech Korbanus outside the Azara, which we learned about at the end of Zvachim. So the pasuk says, and the pasuk says that you're not allowed to offer a korban outside the Azara, and the Braisa says, e-korban, if you only have the word korban, shemeyani af kotshebedek abayis, you would think that it applies also to kotshebedek abayis, shenikru korban, which after all, kotshebedek abayis can also in the pasuk be called a korban, ki inyan shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, in this week's parasha actually, v'anafgrib af korban Hashem, you have after the war of Midian in this week's parasha, the leaders of the officers of the army come to Moshe, and they tell him that none of us were lost in battle, and none of us even had any hiruri. None of us succumbed to sitting with the ghouls from Midian over there, even though we were attacking them. So we did better than they did earlier with Bnei Smayev. But we may have had a hero, and therefore we want to bring a kapara, and they offer all the gold that the officers captured from Midian, they offer to the Mishkan. And the pasuk says, "Vanakre v'korban Hashem." We want to offer the korban of Hashem. Now those are not a korban that goes on the Mizbeach. It's called Shebet Kabayis. It goes to the treasury of the Mishkan, and the pasuk still calls it a korban. So therefore, the Braisa is saying, so you would think maybe the same thing applies if you have an animal with kotcher betek abayis, and a person shechts it outside the Azara, he'd be chayiv koris. Since the pasuk says korban, no. Therefore, Talmud Lamavav Pasach Oyo Moed Regemer. Therefore, the pasuk says that the person is chayev because he didn't bring the korban to the door of the Oyo Moed. Meaning, Haroi le Pesach Oyo Moed, only the type of korban which is suitable to be brought in front of the door of the Oyo Moed, namely a regular korban that goes on a Mizbeach. Only such a korban is a person chayav for shechting it outside the Azara. She'ein roi l'pesach oyo moed, an animal which is not meant to go in front of Pesach oyo moed, kotshebedek abayis, for example. And Rashi says, because the fact of the matter is, kotshebedek abayis in general are going to be baalei mumen. We learned earlier in the sugya, we learned in the previous sugya, that if a person takes an animal which is a tomim and makes it kosher b'derek abayis, he's over on an eser because a tomim is supposed to go for a korban. Only a baal mum is supposed to go for b'derek abayis. So therefore, Rashi says, in general, kosher b'derek abayis are going to be baal mum, and therefore they're not suitable to be brought as korbanos. So they're not roi l'pesach hayomayid. So she'ein roi l'pesach hayomayid. If they're not suitable to record in front of the door of the Ohel Moed, for example, these Bali Mumim, which are Kotchim, so a person's not high of Kodesh for Shechting him outside the other. Then continues the Braisa, Otsi Anias Elu. Okay, so you would think then on that basis, you're going to exclude Kotchim Betek Abayis, fine. Goloi Otsi Paras Chatas Vesor Lamashtaleach. Maybe we shouldn't be excluding the Parah Aduma or the Sarah Mishtaleach, because after all, those animals are Tomim. They could conceivably be brought as a carbon. They are, after all, conceivably suitable to be brought in front of Pesach HaYomayit, because after all, they are Tomim. Yeah, like this, in practically speaking, you're not, because you're shechting the part of Adumah on Harazesin outside Yerushalayim, and the Sarah Lazazel is going off the cliff. But in principle, they could have been brought as carbonists. You would think, therefore, that you shouldn't exclude them. By the way, there's a different sugya in Zvachim, where we have this whole concept of Shchut Echutz, where Rashi takes out the Parah Adumah. Because after all, the Parah Adumah never comes to Pesach HaYomer, whereas the Sarah L'Azazel at least is brought into the Azara, where the girl was made. Anyway, the point is that the Braisa continues, you would think that maybe a person would be Chayef Kares for shechting the Parah Adumah or the Sarah Mishaleach outside the Azara, because they were royal Pesach HaYomer, they could have been brought to the carbon, and the Sarah Mishaleach, in fact, is brought before Pesach HaYomer at some point, because they have to do the girl over there. Tamad Laimah, Lashem, therefore the Pesach says, finishes off, Lashem, meaning Mishim Yuchadin Lashem, it only applies to Karbanos that are uniquely addressed that are uniquely given to Hashem, Yotzuel Hashem Yichad Hashem, as opposed to the Sarah Lazazel and the Parah Adumah, which are not Yichad in Hashem. They're not uniquely given to Hashem because the Parah Adumah is shechted outside, is shechted on Harazesim, and then none of it is burned as a korban in honor of Hashem. And the Sarah Lazazel, same thing. None of it is burned as a korban in honor of Hashem. All of it is thrown off the cliff. So the point is, we see over there the word Lashem is excluding certain things, the part of Adumah and the Sar Lazazel. So why over here are we saying that the word Lashem, in the case of being Makdish Abalmum, we're saying that the word Lashem comes to include, how do we know that it comes, that we're saying that it comes to include the Sar Mishtaleach? What's the logic? Omar Rava, so Rava says, as he often does in Shas, Hosef, Min Yad HaDikra, you have to look at the context of the Hosef to know whether Lashem is a Ribuy or a Mute. There, it's the El Pesach, Rabbi, it's there because you have the word El Pesach that is brought in front of the door of Ohel Moed, which is Rabbi, it's because that comes to be, that would come to include anything that is brought in front of Pesach Ohel Moed, which therefore at least is going to include the Sarah Lazozel, which is, after all, brought in front of the door of the Ohel Moed, because that's where they make the girdle between it and the Sarah Lashem. Therefore, once you have that Ribui Lashem Lahoisi, then the word Lashem that continues must come to exclude something that we otherwise would have included. Hocha de Isha Lahoiti, here it's the other way around. The word Isha is a mute when it comes to the Balin woman, because the Pasuk says you're not allowed to make a fire carbon of them for Hashem. So it only applies to carbonics that go into the fire. So it wouldn't apply to Kotcha Bedeka Bayis. And it also wouldn't include the Sarah Lazozo, because the Sarah Lazozo doesn't go into the fire. Therefore, the word Lashem must come to be a ribui, because otherwise you have two miutim, one after the other, and we don't need them.
So here
the word Lashem comes to include the Sarah Lazazel, because we had before the word the Isha Lashem, that you're not allowed to bring them on the fire, which would exclude things that are not brought in the fire. Therefore, the word Lashem tells us this din of Baalim woman applies to certain things that don't go into the fire as well, such as the Sarah Lazazel. And when it comes to Shchut Echutz, it's the other way around. Because we have the word Al-Pesach Ohel Moed, which includes things that are brought in front of the Ohel Moed and just not offered over there, such as the Sarah Lazazel, then the word Lashem comes to exclude it. Okay. So the bottom line is, we're saying that if a person brought a Baal Mum with a carbon, then there are five Isurim involved, and we said the same thing applies to the Sarah Mishaleach. So let's analyze that part further about the Sarah Mishaleach. Time at the cost of Krov Hashem, or the Lord Maizu Sarah Mishaleach. So you're telling me, only because the Pasuk says Lashem, are we saying therefore the Sarah Mishaleach is not that you're not allowed to bring an animal, a Baal Mum, as the Sarah Mishaleach? You're saying because it says Lashem, and we're saying the word Lashem over here is a ribu.
So what are you telling me? Hold a Ravi Kra. So if you didn't have a Ribui in the Pasuk, Lashem, if you didn't have the word Lashem in the Pasuk, have a minute, you would have thought Sir and Mashalech Ba'amun Shaper Dami. You would have thought it's fine to have a Sir La'azazah, which is a Ba'amun. How is that possible? The Sir and Mashalech is one of a pair. You have two animals. You make a girdle between them. One becomes a Sir Lashem. One becomes a Sir La'azazah. Nechni, let's consider. Eina girdle kabura el abadavah harai. The girdle only establishes which is which when the Kohen Gadol makes the girdle of Lashem and La'azazah and only establishes it as the one Lashem or the one La'azazah if it's something suitable. Because after all, the whole point of the girdle is it's a 50-50 chance which one is going to be which. So you can't have one animal over there that's suitable to the gore of the carbon, and you're going to know in advance that one's going to be the Sir Lashem, and the other one is not suitable, and that one can be the Sir Lazal. So the whole point is it's supposed to be random which one you pick is which. So it has to be, of necessity, it has to be that the Sir Lazal is a Talmim, is not a Balbom. Otherwise, how are you making the girdle in the first place? So why do we need the Pasuk Lashem to tell us that you're not allowed to bring the Sir Lazal to Balbom? Amr Rav Yosef, Hamani Chonan Amitzri. So Rav Yosef says, the answer is, this braisa that says that you need a special limud to tell us that you're not allowed to bring the Sir La'azazah as a Balmum, that would be according to the opinion of Chonan Amitzri. The Omar, in Masechta Yoma, you have a number of different cases. What happens? So you had a pair of animals for the Sir Lashem and the Sir Lazozo. You have a number of different cases. What happens if one of them becomes possible? Let's say the obvious example is one of them dies. So if you have, in the middle of the process, one of these animals dies before you had a chance to do the whole process. You have a few different possibilities. You can have where it died before they shechted the other one, or after they shechted the other one and before they sprinkled its blood, etc., etc. So now Chonan HaMitzri holds that. So now let's say, for example, let's say you shechted the Sir Lashem, then the Sir Lazozel dropped dead before you had a chance to send it off to Azazel. So now most of the Tanoim over there hold you have a problem. Because it's one thing if the Sir La'azazah had died while the Sir La'ashem was alive. Okay, you have a concept called Ein, according to some opinions, which is Halacha, Ein Balei Chayim Nitzchin, an animal which is suitable to be brought as a korban cannot be pushed off permanently from being brought as a korban. Okay, right now the one La'ashem is disqualified because there's no Sir La'azazah opposite it, but fine. So you bring another animal, and you bring new animals, and you make a new girdle. But but if you had already shechted the Sir Lashem, now you have blood is in the Mizrach, and now the Sir Lazozel drops dead. Now you have a problem because blood can be nidcha. Once you have that blood as nidcha, then if it once it's pushed off from being kosher for sprinkling, then you can't make it kosher again. So then, according to that opinion, which is the halacha, you would have to spill out that blood, and you'd have to start over with two new goats. Now that's where Chonan HaMitzri comes in and argues, and Chonan HaMitzri says, Afilu dam b'kois, even if the blood of the Sir Lashem is already in the container, no problem. Maybe chaveru mezadikla. You could bring a second animal and pair it up with it and make that second animal, that new animal, will be the Sir Lazozo, and you continue with the Sir Lashem. So according to him, the point is that you have a Sir Lazozo that was picked without a girdle. Therefore, you knew at the time that it's not going to be the Sir Lashem because you already had a Sir Lashem which you shechted and you have the blood available. By elimination, this one can only be the Sir Lazozo. So according to him, you need a special process to tell you that you should know you can't pick one at the Balmo. Problem with that is, okay, fine. Chonan HaMitzri holds that you don't hold a Pichui over here. You don't say that the blood, once it became disqualified because the other animal died, that you say, according to him, that it can become kosher again as soon as you have another animal. Sure, that's all good. But where do you ever see that Chonan HaMitzri says you don't need a new girdle? After all, according to him, the pastors, he would hold that the new Sir Lazozo has to be picked with a girdle, just like the original one was picked with a girdle. Dilma Maisi Umagru. Maybe what Chonan HaMitzri holds is, okay, you still have to bring a new pair of animals. You make a girdle,
One of them is tikkun as a sarilah zazel. And what you do with the other one that was tikkun as a second sarilah shan, that you can deal with what exactly happened with that one. But the point is, according to, you can't say according to Chanan Amitzi that you're just going to take one animal and say this is the sarilah zazel and that's that. So you're back to the question then. If you always need a girdle to determine the sarilah zazel, that means at the time before the girdle it had to be a tumim, because of the 50-50 chance if it's going to be picked as the new sarilah shem, and if it's going to be picked as the new sarilah shem, then of course it can't be a bal mum, it's going to be go to the carbon. So what's the chiddush that you can't have that you can't use an animal a bal mum for the sarilah zazel? Elo Amar Rav Yosef, Hamani Rav Shimon. You're right. Rav Yosef says we have to rather say that the Braisa that tells us that you have a special limud from the word Lashem, that the Sur Lazazel, you're not allowed to have a Balmum, that would be according to Rav Shimon. Titania, as we learn in a Braisa in that connection, Nes Echad Mehen, if one of the two animals, the Sur Lashem or the Sur Lazazel, dies, maybe Chavir, if the Loy HaGrola did Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says, you don't need a new girdle, you just need, here we see, now Chanan Amitzri, we didn't find that he said that you don't need a new girdle. He just said that you need, the blood doesn't become possible, but that could still imply you need a new girdle to pick the new Sur Lazazel. But Rav Shimon says explicitly that you don't need a new girdle. Once you have the one girdle to determine the Sur Lashem and the Sur Lazazel, according to him, if now one of them dies, you don't need a new girdle. You just pick the second one without a girdle. You just pick a new one without a girdle. Well, there you go then. According to him, you could conceivably have a Sur Lazazel where it's picked without there ever having been a chance that it would be a Sur Lashem, because you already have a Sur Lashem on hand, whether you shecht in it, whether you didn't, as the case may be. And therefore, the chiddush would be according to him. Even in that case, you're not allowed to have that animal be a bal mum, even though there was no chance that it could ever be the Sur Lashem.
Why he says you don't need a girl, Rav Shimon?
According to, I don't know. The Gemara discusses it in Yoma over there, but I don't remember over there if Rav Shimon darshens it from Sukkim or Svaro, whatever it is. His point is, he holds once you had one girdle to establish the Sur Lashem and the Sur Lazazel, you don't need a second girdle. Okay, so that's one answer. Rava answers, I can give another example, I can give another case what the Braisa is telling us, why the Braisa needs to tell us that you cannot have the Sur Lazazel be a bal mum. Lo'nitzucha, the chiddush would be to gencha humam boi bayayin. Suppose that the animal that was designated as a Sur Lazazel, so we're talking about the normal situation, you had two animals, you made a girdle, one of them was designated as a Sur Lazazel, that one then, after you made the girdle, developed a mum. So, okay, so far you haven't done anything wrong. You weren't makdish it as a bal mum, so you can't say that you were over on any other. But the chiluloi al chaberei, then what you did is, you took that animal and you were mechalal it on another animal, which is a bal mum. So now the point is that the point is that now he was makdish an animal as that he was makdish an animal a bal mum as the new Sur Lazazel. Or at least he's trying to. So therefore, he's getting malchus for that, because he took the existing Sur Lazazel and tried to take the kedusha off it and put it onto a new animal, which happens to be a bal mum. Now, why then is it a chiddush to say that he'd get malchus for that?
Is that called a tmura, what he's trying to do?
Tmura would be where he uses an expression of tmura. I'm exchanging this animal for this. Here he's doing an expression of chilul. Chilul is a valid thing. You can be mechalel an animal onto something else of value. That's a different thing. There's no issue in that. But here, so had he been mechalel it on a tum, on a tumim, there would be no problem. The problem was he was mechalel it on a balmum. So, sakadat chanina, the reason why it's a chiddush to say that he gets malchus in that case, you would think like this. Bishlam and the Ikra, I can understand why he'd get malchus in the first place if he had designated two animals where one of them was a balmum. Because at the beginning, lo yadayna yihayim mitzvah Hashem. We don't know. This one may end up being the Sur Lashem, and therefore it'll turn out that he was over on an isser of being makdish abal mum on his beach. Avol hocha, but you would think in this case over here, given the inker shame, since the name was already designated. The name was already recognizable. This was the Sur Lazazel. And all you're doing now is you're trying to transfer the kedusha from that one onto another animal. Loy Loki, you would think he should not get malchus for that. Kamashma, because after all, there's no chance that could be a Sur Lashem. Kamashma, and that is the chiddush, therefore, says Rava, that even in that case, he is getting malchus.
Just because you're not allowed to do it, that's it.
Just because you have the word Lashem, which teaches us that this issue applies to the sterilized also as well. Okay. Rashi over here goes into a whole long thing over here about a different lashon and about a different lashon in the Gemara over here. But at a glance, it doesn't look like there's any difference between. I'm not sure what the difference is between that lashon and the previous one, so we'll skip it. Okay, let's continue. Omar Mar. Then we said, now we know where do we get that a person can be over on five Isurim if he's Makdish Abalum. So we said for shechting it, for sprinkling the blood, for burning some of it on the Mizbeach, and for burning all of it on the Mizbeach. Then we said in the Brayse, the Omar Mar, Mishum Rav Yosi of Yehuda Omru, they said in the Mishum they said in the name of Rav Yosi of Yehuda also that a person is chai of Malkus for receiving the blood of a Baal Mum and a Kehli. So my time at Rav Yosi of Yehuda, why does Rav Yosi of Yehuda say that you're chai of Kabbal Saddam as well? So like this, Omakra, because we have another pasuk in that connection, in the section about Mumim over there in Parshat Emor, the pasuk says, the pasuk mentions four different cases where the genitals of the animal have been damaged. We learned about them in Bechoros. The Beitim or the Yid are squashed or crushed or pulled out or cut. And the pasuk says about that, again, the pasuk uses the expression, you should not offer them to Hashem. And so therefore, from those words, you should not offer. What is that kribu? Means do kabbalah sadam. That means the sprinkling of the blood. Do kabbalah sadam sha'amar of Yisrael b'Yehuda. That's where the Yisrael b'Yehuda says that if a person sprinkles the blood of a Baal Mum, then he's over on another issue of loisak kribu as well. Okay. So the question is, what Tanakama hai loisak kribu lomali? So what is the Tanakama doing with those words loisak kribu? If according to him, you only have five Yisraelim, not six, so what is he doing with that one? The answer is Mubarilah Zrikas Domin. The Tanakama would say that I can't have that for Kabbalah Saddam. I'm already using that for Zrikas Saddam. I'm using that for the case where I'm sprinkling the blood. Question is the most of raining. What do you mean? We already learned that from the words Alam Mizbeach. We said that there. Alam Mizbeach. Alam Mizbeach means that you're not allowed to sprinkle them on the Mizbeach. Okay, the Gemara says not a big deal. You know, it's common enough for the Pasuk. The Pasuk may speak like that. Not necessarily are we learning anything from the word Loisak Rivu in the Pasuk. It's just it's the style of the Pasuk. Once it mentioned already previously that the various Bali Mumim, you're not allowed to offer. So it mentions also, so it uses the expression Loisak Rivu in this context also, even though we're not learning anything from it. Give return to Kolosim and Adam, in other words, basically. Because the Shittim HaKabbasah says that the Pasuk is telling us an issue in that case, says Shittim HaKabbasah. The Torah is telling us, like, it's not decent to bring such a korban to Hashem. Rashi actually mentions that concept on the Pesukim a little bit earlier, that the Pasuk is saying that you have the expression in Malachi, Hakrivehu nol pechasecha, would you offer it, to try to offer such a thing to your governor and see if he would accept it. So we see from that a general concept that you can't be offering something to Hashem as a korban that you wouldn't even think of offering to a governor because it would be degrading to do that. So the same thing here. The Pasuk is not saying lo yisakrivu, as in according to the Chachamim, to establish another issue, but rather saying an animal like that has its genitals squashed or crushed or what have you, it's indecent to offer it to Hashem. Okay, so the question is, okay, so why don't we say the same thing according to Rav Yosi of Yehuda? It's just the style of the Pasuk. You're right. According to Rav Yosi of Yehuda, you're not actually learning anything from that. So the question is, so where is he learning a separate issue for the Kabbalah Saddam? The answer is, he learns it from like this. The Pasuk says, a couple of psukim later, the next Pasuk actually says,
Umiyad ben mecher loisakrihu. The pasuk says, from the hands of a goy, you should not offer. Meaning the pasuk is saying that if you have an animal that has a mum, then you're not allowed to accept it from a goy as a korban. So zurika, but the word loisakrihu, zurika bal sadam. Shamar Rabbi Yisrael Bihoda. So there's the kabbalah sadam that Rabbi Yisrael Bihoda is talking about, that a person would be chayav malchus if he offered if he sprinkled the blood of a bal mum on a mizbeach. Okay. Again, the question. What?
Why do you need a pasuk to know that you're not allowed to receive from a goy or even from a yid?
Well, no. The point, well, that's the Gemara is going to point that out. Why do you need a separate pasuk for a goy? But the point is, according to Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, the fact that the pasuk again says loy sakrivu, and you can't say again, this is just the style of the pasuk. Here it has to mean that there's an actual isser on it. So therefore, he says there's your sixth isser. Okay, so of course the question is, well, Tanakama high loy sakrivu wamali. So what is the Tanakama doing with those words loy sakrivu? The answer is Rebbele Lahai. The Tanakhama means it like this. Sakura de Hamina. You have to ask, as you just asked, why in general, why do we need anyway a pasuk to tell us that you're not allowed to accept a bal mum or a korban from a goy? Shouldn't that be obvious? If you can't accept it from a yid, why should you be able to accept it from a goy? So like this, because you might have thought, we know that Bnei Noach have a mitzvah that they themselves, on their own private bamos, which a goy is allowed to bring a korban even nowadays, anywhere they want. They don't have to bring it in the Beis Mikdash like we do. So they only have an iser to offer an animal that's actually missing a limb. They are allowed to offer an animal that has a mum, just as long as it's not missing a whole limb. So therefore, you would think, so you would think it wouldn't matter whether it's a mizbeach of theirs or whether it's a mizbeach of ours. If Hashem is willing to accept the bal mum from a goy on his private mizbeach, then he would also be willing to accept it on the big mizbeach, on the mizbeach, on the mizbeach, on the mizbeach. Kamash Malon, that is what this pasuk comes to teach us. That's not the case. So according to the Chachamim, you're not learning a sixth iser for a regular bal mum for this. You're learning that you shouldn't think that maybe the rules are relaxed for korbanos of goy. Again, Mishnah. When they come to Arbe Chutzpah, right. Exactly. Mishnah. Can we know another version of that last part of the discussion? We said Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda Ema Afa Kabbalah Sadam. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda says that a person is Chayiv Kardes, not Chayiv Kardes, Chayiv Malkus for receiving the blood of a Baal Mum. My time. And again, because of the pasuk that talks about where the genitals are squashed or crushed or what have you, it says you're not allowed to offer zukabal sadam, and he says that means the receiving of the blood. Meanwhile, that a person is high of malchus for sprinkling such blood, he learns from the word me'alam, he learns from the word alam is me'ach. So the question is, according to the second version of Rabbananami, typical Zrika min Alam Mizbeach, why aren't the Chachamim learning Zrika from Alam Mizbeach? The answer is Hochinami, indeed they are. The Ela Loisakrivu b'molch l'mayosa. So what are they using the word Loisakrivu in connection with the Molch v'chosus for, which Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is learning Kabbalah Sadam from? The answer is Matkinim l'bamas yachin. They would use it to say that you're not allowed to bring an animal that has a mum on a private bummer during the period of Jewish history when you were allowed to have private bummers before after the first 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael, and then the 57 years when the Mishkan was a noven giver and they were allowed to have private bummers. So there you have the apostle to tell us that even during that period you're not allowed to bring an animal. Well, you're not allowed to bring an animal about them. So the question is, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Hain Kol Lo Bamos Yochid. New, doesn't Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda also need it for the same purpose? The answer is Hochinami. Indeed, he does. He does need to learn the same thing. Ela Takrivu de Kabbalah Manole. So where is he learning about the Isser, about the Lav and the Malchus for Kabbalah Sadam? The Miyad Ben Necho Lo Takrivu. Again, he's learning it from the Pasuk about Korbanos of Goyim that you're not allowed to offer. Zu Kabbalah Sadam, which means, again, the word Takrivu means receiving the blood. So according to him, that's where you're learning it from. But Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would answer to that, as we said before, in the first Lashon, Istrich, we still need it to be repeated by the case of the Goyim. Sakra de Chamina, again, because we would have thought, Hoyol Vnei Neach Eim Mitzuvan Elah Mechusar Eger Rebama Dilhoin, since when it comes to a Bama of their own, a Bama that the Goyim themselves build, they're only also to bring a Mechusar Eger, an animal that's actually missing a limb. Dilma Anan Nami Nekabu Minayin. Maybe we should be allowed to bring to receive, to accept an animal about more of the carbon from them as well. Kamash Malan, that therefore the pasuk says, "Mikol Eila," from any of these women that are listed in the pesukim, the loin mekablin, and we're not allowed to accept from Goyim. So it's basically the same as the first lashon, just a different way of phrasing it. Okay. Now, Maski Florida Shlokish. Okay, the Shlokish says, I have a problem with this whole thing over here. We're saying that if a person is Makish about Mom, and then he ends up offering it, then he's over and on five lavim and he's getting five falafels for it. But the Shlokish asks on that. Shema was Shaninu, Elabatam Shanasa Baal Mom, the over. Maybe we should say that a person only, when is a person over on these five lavim? Only if he took an animal that was, only if you have an animal that was originally a tam, and later on it became a Baal Mom, there we would say, for example, that he thought it was originally a tam, so he thought, okay, well, as long as at one point in its life it was a tam, maybe I should be able to demolish it. That's when we're going to say you have the Isurim and these Malkus. The Shlokish asks, why is he getting Malkus if he's Makdish a Baal Mum when he's Be'ach in the first place? Dikla Baal Mahu. It's no different than being Makdish a tree. If a person were Makdish a tree for the Mizbeach, there's no reason he's going to get Malkus for it. He obviously didn't think that it's something that's suitable to be brought as a carbon. Obviously, he really meant only Kedushas Damim. So if he's not fish, an animal that was born a Baal Mum, let's say, then why are we saying he's getting Malkus? Why are we not distinguishing between whether it developed a Mum later or not? Sure, but look at the system over there. In the list of Mumim, that you're not allowed to bring an animal as a carbon, it mentions Sarua, where an animal has one, where it actually over here translates Sarua, that one of its limbs was broken, but Shitumukabat just changes it to that one of his limbs is larger than the other, as we learned in Bukharis, then you have a case, for example, let's say one leg is longer than the other, it's called Sarua. And the other one is kolot, where an animal is born with unsplit hooves. Those are written in the parasha. Those are congenital women. An animal was born sarua, was born kolot. So therefore, obviously, the process is not distinguishing between whether the mumim existed before or not. Amarlay, however, the Shlokish says still, Shema la shaninu elabitmura, maybe that concept that a person is chayev for being mastish, an animal that was born with a mum, maybe that only applies to a tmura, the subject of Amasekta, because a tmura is able to be chal on a baal mum kavua. The Tzinan, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Amasekta and then in the next parak. There's a chumra in a tmura over an initial animal that was designated as a carbon. Because the kedusha is able to be chal, the kedusha of a tmura is able to be chal even if it has a permanent mum, which is not the case with a carbon, with a regular carbon. So therefore, maybe you would argue if a person had an original animal for a carbon and then he made a tmura from it to another animal that has a congenital mum, sure, give him malchus for that. So tmura is able to be chal on that. But where are you getting, says the Shlokish, that if a person is machnish, an animal that was born with a mum, that he should get malchus for it? Why shouldn't we say, why is it any different than being machnish a tree? So which if a person is machnish a tree, obviously he meant to kedushas damim. Why don't we say the same thing over here? He obviously meant kedushas damim and not given malchus. Amalei Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan says to Rabbi Shlokish, was Shmi alaha de Amar Rabbi Yanai. Haven't you heard of what Rabbi Yanai said? B'chavura nimnu v'gamru, in the chavura, when the group of chachamim were in the Beis Medrash, they voted on it and they decided, ha-makdish ba'al mum l'gavim mizeach oru mishum chamish ha-shemes. That a person is makdish ba'al mum for the mizeach, he's chayev for five different lavim. So obviously it must be talking about an original carbon, the ibit tmura nami, because, says Rabbi Yechanan, if we were talking about only a case of tmura, shisha havyan, then you would have six dik and nami lav to tmura, because you have to add the sixth lav that you're not allowed to make a tmura at all. So obviously, since they said only five, not six, then therefore it must be that we're not talking about a tmura, we're talking about initial kedusha. Okay, so Rish Lakish still isn't satisfied. Elamai about mum be'ikra. So still, after all, what are you telling me then? That we're talking about an animal that was born with a mum? Am I lucky? I still have my question. Why is he getting malchus for being machdish such an animal? Dikla ba'almahu. It's no different than being machdish a tree. Amalei, so Rabbi Shulam Yechon answers him, there's a difference. Dikla lav zila milsa. Because if a person is machdish of tree to the mizbeach, it's not a degrading thing. Because after all, min eitzim, who is a type of wood, and wood goes on the mizbeach. So therefore, okay, this particular type of wood doesn't go on the mizbeach. You can't say that he degraded the mizbeach by trying to be makdish something that doesn't belong on it. Ba'al mum be'ikra, but an animal that was born with a mum, zil milsa, it's a degrading thing. Shabbat Tumim, the Akash Baal Mumim, the fact that he ignored the Tumim and Davka went to the Makash of Baal Mum, yeah, with a congenital Baal Mum, but we can't compare it to a tree because it's a degrading thing that he did. Mechayev, therefore, we should be Mechayev and Malkus on those grounds, degrading the honor of Hashem and the honor of the Mizrach. Lishna Achrina, again, we have another version, on the way that Rabbi Yechanan answers him using different words. Afilo Hochi, Bazia Milsa, even so, to be mastish an animal with the Baal Mum is a degrading thing. Dedeka Lechavaminoi, because a palm tree, there's nothing of that species that's suitable to go on the Mizrach. Therefore, Loi Loki, so it's not, therefore he doesn't get Malkus. La Poki, Baal Mum, as opposed to an animal, a Baal Mum. Given the ik of a minoy, after all, there are other animals of the same species that should have been, that he could have designated for the Mizrach. So it's a bizarre for him to ignore the animals that are of the same species that he could have been Maktish and instead be Maktish after this Baal Mum. Therefore, lucky, therefore, he should be getting Malkus on those grounds. So it's different than a tree.
Tree has no bizarre, basically.
What?
In a tree, a dekel, there's no bizarre.
Exactly. There's no design because there's nothing from the tree family that specifically belongs as a korban on a mizbeach. According to the first lashon there is, because certain kinds of wood belong on a mizbeach. According to the second lashon, we're saying, okay, but a tree as a whole doesn't belong on a mizbeach. So you can't say that he degraded the mizbeach by saying such a thing. He obviously meant that he wants to be makdish it l'domim. He wants the value of the tree to be used to buy a korban. But to do the same thing with a Baal Mum, where instead of saying the value of it should go for a korban, he should have just been makdish a tumim for the mizbeach, then therefore that's a degrading thing, and therefore you should be getting malchus for being makdish. And then, of course, if they were to go to be makdish with it, then he would be chayav for the rest of the grounds, for sprinkling, for shechting it as a korban, and sprinkling the blood, and so on and so forth. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, that's the Shem.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a lot of pacha and for shlema to all.